This is Digital Story Podcast number 632, April 24th, 2018. Today's theme is Postcard Gravity. I'm Derek Story. In my previous life as a cubicle worker, we used to have this term for high-flying good ideas that were eventually pulled back to earth to meet their inevitable demise. We called this phenomenon corporate gravity. And believe it or not, it has an artistic sibling for photographers that I call postcard gravity. And the battle against it is the subject of today's show. Engaging in personal projects. That's one of the ways that we can save our artistic souls as photographers. There are no bosses, committees, focus groups, or editors to shoot down our ideas. We come up with a concept, photograph it, then determine how we feel about its merits. But the funny thing is that sooner or later, even our personal projects end up in front of other people, as they should, right? I mean, the whole idea of a personal project, in my mind, is at the beginning of the project, where you have complete artistic freedom in how to conceive and execute this idea that you have. So that part is you, okay? That's the personal project part. But then once you create the artwork, then I always feel like you should share it. You should get opinions on it. You should get it out there. You shouldn't let it just languish on your hard drive or in a box under the bed. These images need to be seen by other people. And so even though it's a personal project, it is now a personal project that is presented to others. While they're looking at our shots, I don't know if you do this, but I do this. Sometimes I look at their face while they're looking at the images. And there have been times when I'm looking at their face and their face seems to be saying, why can't you just take a pretty picture, right? Why can't you just show me a sunset or the Eiffel Tower or the London Eye or something that I can get my head around, something that I immediately can recognize and go, oh, that's pretty, nice picture. Instead, you're showing me, a picture of a bunch of locks on a fence somewhere. Well, that is, Paris too, right? It's just a different part of Paris. It's just a different shot. And I think that's interesting. And sometimes I think photographers find that deflating because here you go out on a limb, right? When you try to do something a little different, when you try to shoot something other than a sunset, you go out on a limb a little bit. You take a little bit of you and you put it on the table there for other people, not only to look at, but to comment on. And when they don't immediately grasp what we're trying to do and how well we did it, then we're disappointed, right? Inside. Now, we may not show it, but inside we're a little disappointed because you're going, this is a brilliant idea. And this is different than anything else that's been done. And you're just looking at it and scowling. And now I'm scowling too, and nobody's having fun, and I put all this work into this project. Well, that's what I call postcard gravity, right? Because, you start out way up here with something very different and unique, and slowly but surely, as you show it to other people, they pull it down, pull it down, pull it down, and the next thing you know, you're searching on your hard drive for sunset pictures and museum statues and things like that so that they'll go, oh, that's a pretty picture. Why didn't you show me that before? That, my friend, is postcard gravity. Now, I really believe that we need to fight that. And the reason why is because, first of all, as I've mentioned many times, I look at a lot of pictures every day. And there are a ton of pretty pictures in the world. Tons and tons and tons. And when I mean pretty, I don't mean creating something unattractive for your personal project. I just mean pretty, postcard pretty, right? Postcard pretty. There are a ton of those. And if all we're doing is replicating the same shots that everyone else is doing over and over. Well, I mean, there's some value in that technically, right? We're getting better as craftsmen, right? We're learning our camera and we're learning post-production software and we're learning composition, stuff like that. So there is merit in that, right? There's value in that. But as artists, we're going nowhere. We're going nowhere. Once you have mastered how to take a picture of the Golden Gate Bridge that, you know, looks as good as most of the other pictures of the Golden Gate Bridge, then you've accomplished that, right? You can check that box. But then it's time to go on. And then the real challenge is to take something like the Golden Gate Bridge and create a different image of it, something that maybe we haven't seen 1,000 times, something that maybe isn't what I believe Galen Roll called a mature subject, right? So that is the important part of the personal project, is pushing beyond the postcard stuff. Now, the point I'm trying to make in this show here is that there is a certain gravity that pulls us back down the postcard. So even when we make the attempt, right, which is stage one, make the attempt, try to do something different, conceive of a personal project that stretches you a bit. All right. Even when we do that and execute it, then the outside world, a lot of times, and when I say the outside world, I'm really talking about friends and family and people who we initially show our images to, people who we go to first for feedback. They're important to us. They may or may not be educated about photography or art, but we like them and we value their opinions. And they're the ones, a lot of times, who get the first look when we create something different. And a lot of times, of course, they're looking for something a bit more accessible. So as I thought about this, and as I go through this myself, because you know I love personal projects, I just finished one. I wrote about it, I believe, on Sunday. On Sunday, I published about the fine art card project that I did. And just to tell you what I did briefly, and this is why this is fresh in my mind, and then I'm going to give you 5 techniques to help you battle postcard gravity, okay? But first, let me tell you what I did. So my idea was, I was going to Maui again. I go to Maui about every other year. It's a special place for me, and I love it there. And I have a lot of great shots from Maui. You've probably seen some of them. And I've done everything. I've done the hiking. I've done the snorkeling. I've done the luau's, the whole deal. I've taken lots of pictures of fruity drinks, family, of course, all the good stuff. And I love my collection of images from Hawaii. They're very important to me. They're very near and dear to me. That being said, this year I wanted to do something different. And especially since Maui was what I did the second week. The first week I was on Oahu. And that was a lot of fun, and I got to do some street photography, which I set out to do and I prepared for, and that was sort of my focus for that week in Honolulu. But the second week, I wanted to do something truly unique. So here was my idea. My idea was to shoot 3 rolls of film, and I took a Kodak Color Plus 200, which is a very run-of-the-mill film, nothing spectacular about it. It's good and it's sharp, but it's definitely not top of the line. And I didn't worry about running it through airport security or anything like that. I just ran it through. I think it went through x-rays 3 times. And then what I wanted to do was photograph parts of Maui, aspects of Maui that I thought were cool, that I had noticed over the years, and buildings that I like, activities, things like that, pieces of shoreline with film, and then have the film scanned, processed and scanned. And I decided to have the scans done by the lab. And so then they came back. And then what I wanted to do was I wanted to print those images on an inkjet printer using Red River paper, matte paper, fine art matte paper. It was kind of a little different spin. It was analog photography in that the actual image was captured on film, but then it was digitized, and instead of being printed in a dark room on photo paper. I wanted to print it through an inkjet printer on matte paper, fine art matte paper. And through the whole process, I wanted to maintain that analog look. I didn't want to fool with the images a whole lot. I didn't want to mess around with them. So that was my project. I think I printed 12. Picked 6 of the 12, and then I've been living with them for, you know, the last few days. And I have to say that I love it. I just love the way they look. They truly look like film shots put on artistic matte paper. And they take this sort of graphical look to them. They're just pretty and they're different, but they're not what you would normally see. There's no glossy Hawaiian sunsets there, and there's none of that kind of stuff. None of that, no tiki torches, none of that stuff at all. So I was pretty happy. So then it was time to show it to people. I showed it to family members and some friends, you know, just casual people, people who come by. None of them were photographers. They're all just people that I like. It went okay. It did. It's funny. Over time, the more they look at the shots, the more they like them. So when they first looked at them, they didn't quite know what to do with them because they were expecting something else. They were expecting postcard shots, right? They were expecting, ooh, you made your own postcards. That's so cute. That's what they were expecting. They weren't expecting this sort of graphical, sort of Cuban-esque representation of things in Maui. It took them a little while. But then, of course, over time, they were able to start to figure out that they liked some more than others and tell me which ones those were. And we went from all of that. And I was very observant during this whole process. I have been through this many times. But to me, that part of it was also part of this personal project because I really wanted to get my head around this process. So, okay, so that's what I did, and that's what I have just gone through. And by the way, in the article that I published on Sunday, I did share one of the shots. It's a really, I like the shot a lot. It's a shot of surfboards lined up on this fence on the way to Hana. You can take a look at one of the shots there, one of the ones that I like a lot, and draw your own conclusions. And I might publish another one of the shots with this week's show notes also. In fact, I think I will. I'll publish another one of the shots with the show notes. Okay, so here's what I came up with to battle postcard gravity so that we are lighter and able to pursue these projects that I've been talking about. First of all, number one, be clear on the concept of the project. Art for art's sake can lead you down some really weird alleys. But if you've thought through your project from start to finish, I think you have a better opportunity for creating something truly unique and possibly even appealing to the masses. The more I think about it up front, the more I devise a plan, and the more I envision in my mind's eye how I think this is going to look or how I want it to look when it's completed, those to me feel like they've been the projects that are most successful, not only for me, but also when I show them to other people. So being really clear on the concept of the project and planning it out, that's not only part of the fun because, you know, you get to figure out your equipment and all the different parts of it, but I think it leads to more success too. Next, number two, leverage all of your technical expertise. By combining craftsmanship and artistry, you can impress viewers who might not initially grasp the concept, but they'll appreciate your skill. A lot of times people can go, your choice of subject was kind of off for me. I don't really get that. However, the way that you photographed it and the way that that print looks is really pretty impressive. And I'm impressed by your skill, even though I haven't totally warmed up to the concept yet. If you can get that out of people, you are in a really good spot. You are in a really good spot. And so I think by just putting all your technical expertise into these projects and really making them as good as you can make them will go a long ways for a long time. Number three, personally, I think it's okay to explain what you're trying to do. When you're showing people shots, and especially in the beginning, when you're trying to get a feel for people's reactions. Because think about this. You're really asking a lot of your audience to perceive in just a few seconds an idea that took you days or even weeks to work out yourself. By letting your viewers know, you know, a little bit about what you're trying to do, something like, I wanted to create a very graphical look with these shots. So that's what I was after here. Then they go, oh, I get it. That's on purpose. That isn't a mistake. That's something he was really trying to do. And I laugh, right? I laugh, but actually, that's very important. Because then suddenly they go, oh, all right, now I get it. Now, again, this could be one of those scenarios where they go, I don't really like your choice that you made here, but I'm impressed technically. And again, I'll take that. I'll take that any day of the week. But I think it's okay, especially when you first start showing these images to people, to let them know what you're doing. Give them a chance. Give them something to hang on to while they view your work. Number four, don't argue with critical feedback. It doesn't do any good. It really does. It's like arguing about politics or religion or anything else that's a no-win argument. So when you're getting critical feedback, and people will give you critical feedback about stuff, and it could be technical, like why are those tones, you know, all muddy and gooky, to subject choice, to whatever. And, you know, some people, in all honesty, just don't feel good unless they're able to give you some sort of critical feedback or tell you how to improve the shot. And when they do, just listen to them, of course, and acknowledge their feedback. Think about what they're saying, but don't argue with them. It doesn't do any good. Don't get defensive. Oh, that's the worst. That's the worst thing you can do. Just roll with it and know that you're going to get it ahead of time. So, you know, be ready for that. And then number five, and I think this is even more important than number four, don't discount positive feedback either. This is especially helpful when you're presenting a number of images, a gallery of images. And if people express a favorite, then consider showcasing it to promote the entire collection. Where this really comes to play is that if what other people are saying is a shot or two that they really like is different than the one that you like, listen to them. Listen to them, because as I have said many times before on the show, we are often not the best judge of our own work. And especially if people are stretching a bit, so they're able to stretch and they go, you know what? That is kind of cool. I like that shot. I like that. And you're looking at it going, that shot? I wasn't even going to put that in the collection. You know, that one wasn't even going to make the cut. And that's your favorite? Now, of course, this is what you're saying inside. On the outside, you go, well, I really appreciate you picking that out. Could you tell me a little bit about what you like about it? And then listen to that part. And then especially if you get someone else picking the same shot, then you really got to pay attention to this, right? Here's your in to getting other people to look at it and to appreciate what you've done. That in, that one shot that maybe to you is your least favorite in the collection, is the shot that if that's the first thing that other people see and they like it also, just the way the folks did prior to them, then they will look at the following shots differently and with more of an open mind. Now, that isn't postcard gravity. You go, well, isn't that a sellout? Isn't that postcard gravity? No, it isn't, because this is part of the collection that you have already done. You've already conceived, executed, and now you're sharing. And the fact that you printed it means that it qualified for your personal project. It qualified to be a member of that community of images. So the fact that someone picks one of the shots that isn't your favorite, that doesn't mean you're selling out, and that doesn't mean that it's a postcard. That just means that it's a bit more accessible than the other ones, and that could be your key to success with the entire project when you present it to other folks. So here's the thing, wrapping this up. The main thing that I'm pushing for here is to avoid becoming addicted to sugary likes, right? You put something on Instagram and you get 100 likes right away, a lot of times that isn't your best work. A sunset with silhouetted trees is not your best work, okay? Everyone loves sunsets, but generally speaking, that's the artistic work of God, not the photographer. You just were there to record it. So other than we did compose it and we did see it, so we do get brownie points for that. But you don't want that to be your total existence in terms of you as a photographer. You want to stretch and push beyond that. And by adopting some of these techniques to help you go through that process unscathed, I think then will make it easier for you not to collapse into postcard gravity and to continue to grow as an artist. Thomas Hawk publishes my thoughts on the Smug Mug Flickr acquisition. So this was a Petapixel article, and I put a link to the original article in the show notes. And, you know, this was big news for a lot of us. You know, I'm someone who loves Smug Mug, and I'm someone who loves Flickr. And the fact that the two of them are moving in together is just big news for me. I'm very, very happy about this. And in general, I think the response in the photography community has been great. Some people are more cautiously optimistic than others. And I think the main thing that some folks are cautious about is Smug Mug able to handle something as big as Flickr? Flickr's ginormous and it's complex and there's a lot to it. And, you know, Smug Mug has, kind of kept it tight over the years, and they've done a very good job and executed very well. Well, I think that they probably did a little thinking about that before they bought Flickr. And I think they think the answer is yes, and I'm going to go with them on this because, you know, so far, for me anyway, being a Smug Mug customer for many years, they've done great business-wise, and I anticipate they have thought this through and will do great going forward. But I wanted to also read a little bit about what Thomas said. I like Thomas Hawk, and Thomas Hawk has been one of the bigger proponents of Flickr over the years and one of the biggest critics of Flickr over the years, which just tells me he loves Flickr. At the end of the day, he just loves Flickr. And so someone who's passionate about Flickr and then who also personally knows the folks over at Smug Mug, which he does, he seems like a good person to talk about this acquisition. So I'm going to read you a little bit of what he has to say here. First off, I have to say that I think the acquisition news is very good for Flickr users and the Flickr community. While time will tell how this acquisition goes, I have much more faith in Smug Mug running Flickr than I do Verizon. In buying Flickr, Smug Mug, more than anything, is buying a community. I think they are going to be very careful not to disrupt this community and look for ways to grow it thoughtfully. Having known the McCaskills, the family that owns Smug Mug, for many years, one thing that I can say for certain is that they love photography and photographers. If you ever get a chance to visit their offices in Mountain View, do it. What you will find is wall after wall covered with the biggest prints you have ever seen in your life. These are people who are passionate about photography, not advertising. I think this acquisition will allow them to do even more with the community. Photo walks, meetups, etc. They will need to make sure Flickr is profitable, and it will be, but they will have a much larger group to build a bigger and stronger community with. While Google Plus sort of became the place for the photographic community for a bit, before Google largely abandoned it, there's really not a good place for a larger community of photographers today, and I think with the acquisition of Flickr, Smug Mug hopes that it can build this, and I think they have a pretty good chance of doing this. And I agree with Thomas on this. They have taken on a big task, no doubt about it. And they will be challenged, and there will be unexpected things. But let's look at this as people who love Flickr. And by the way, we use Flickr in our community, right? This is where our member photo of the day is picked from. This is where our virtual camera club members, more than 2,500 of them, post pictures regularly to share with other members of our virtual camera club. Flickr is the place that I go to see your photos. It is the place that I scan and that I look at a number of times a week. and sometimes very impressed and sometimes going, you need to work harder, but it's all right there. And I want that to continue and I want it to get even better. And I think having this community in the capable hands of Smug Mug, it is going to usher in a new era for Flickr. And this is really exciting. And I'm just glad I didn't give up on Flickr. I'm not as passionate about it as Thomas, but kind of close. I don't give up on relationships easily, right? Especially ones that I think have potential. So anyway, I wanted to share that with you. I wanted to share a little bit about what Thomas thought. I wanted to share a little bit about what I think. I'm excited about this. And as things continue to evolve, I will be reporting on it right here. I have kind of a fun thing for you. I just actually thought of this today. I wanted to do something special for the folks that buy my latest book, The Apple Photos Book for Photographers, second edition, published by Rocky Nook. Now in round one, doing something special, I had a movie that I would send a link to for folks that had purchased the book, either the Kindle edition or the iBooks edition or the paper edition. And that was fun. That was fun. I really enjoyed hearing from folks who had bought the book and sent them the link and the password, and we had a good time. So I wanted to do something else. And so what I thought of and designed and printed today was something that we used to do in the O'Reilly days, and it's called an author's book plate. And I go, wouldn't it be great to have an author's book plate for people who buy this book? And what it is, it's very official looking. It's beautiful. And actually, the one that I designed today, I like a lot better than the ones that we used to have in the O'Reilly days. But the thinking behind it is that, okay, you're there and I'm here. You bought my book and I can't sign it for you because you're there. But what I can do is acknowledge your purchase of the book and thank you and send you an author's book plate that's signed that you can put inside the book. Or if you want, use it as a bookmark. You can go either way. And I'll talk more about that in a second. So I designed this thing and it has my, you know, it has the exact same way that I sign books in person on the book plate. And it has, you know, some nice graphical design and the whole deal. It really looks cool. It looks very official because, well, it is. Here's my proposal that for anyone who buys the book or has bought the book and sends me a note before April 30th, 2018, I will send you an electronic version of this author's book plate, and it's designed so that you can print it out on a sheet of standard 4x6 print paper. So the very same paper that you use to print out your snapshots on your inkjet printer, this book plate will print on it perfectly. And I have the hard copies to prove it. Now, what I printed it on and what I really recommend, not everyone will have this on hand, but I printed it on some nice matte paper, some nice Red River Polar matte paper, and it looks great on that. And the reason why I like the matte paper, and I got a little heavier stock that I used it for, is that it feels like a bookmark, you know, with the heavier matte paper stock, and it looks really good on the matte paper. But it will print on anything. So all you have to do is when you get the PDF, just open it up, send a print command to your printer, and then for paper size, just choose 4x6 or whatever you choose to print your snapshots, and it will output perfectly on it. Make sure that if you're printing on glossy, you choose glossy photo paper. If you're printing on semi-gloss, you choose that, whatever you have. If you have any matte paper that's 4x6, print it on that because it looks really nice. Now, all you have to do is use the contact form on the Nimble Photographer, just like we did before. Just go to thenimblephotographer.com, choose contact, and then you can just say, hey, I bought the book, and I would love to have one of your book plates, and then I'll send it to you. I'll send it to you. If you've bought the book, you qualify, right? You qualify. So everyone that got the free movie, you still qualify for the book plate. Those that just buy the book this week, you get the book plate. You know, we just keep it moving forward like that. So I think you will really enjoy this, and it does personalize your book quite a bit. Now, here's the only caveat. This is only for the printed books, right? Because it doesn't do any good to have a book plate for an electronic book. So this offer is only for people who buy the printed version of the book, use the contact form on the Nimble Photographer, or you, if you want, you can send me email, but the contact form is just so easy to do. And then I will send you back that PDF, and I am pretty sure that you're really going to like it. And it just makes it all just a bit more connected, you and I, on this very special project for me. Okay, I need to wrap up here. I'm just kind of going on and on, aren't I? Just really quickly, I want to thank everyone who has sent in a film camera that needs to find a good home. This is so much fun. I love doing this. If you have a film camera, a 35mm film camera, or a medium format film camera that isn't being used and you want me to bring it back to life, refurbish it, and get it in the hands of someone that will use it through the film camera shop, use the contact form on the Nimble Photographer and let me know what you have, and we will set up to get it to me. It is a wonderful way for you to contribute to this virtual camera club, and I so appreciate the cameras that have come in, and you know, I hope I get a few more. I'm having a blast seeing these cameras. Also want to mention that we're doing the San Francisco Street Photography Workshop this week. Yes, it starts on Wednesday evening and it runs through Saturday, so I'll be talking a bit about that. Those of you that are coming, I can't wait to work with you. We are going to have blast. And I'm just going to tell you one little thing that I'm really excited about. So we've got these Olympus F1.2 lenses. Olympus loaned us a number of these optics along with really great cameras. So I set up this really wonderful model that we're going to do a photo shoot in Chinatown with these lenses on Saturday morning, and it's just going to be really, really wonderful. And that's just one of the things that we're doing. When you see the model and then you see the location that I have in mind, these pictures are going to be killer. So anyway, that's this week, so I'll be talking a bit more about that next week. Remember, we have two other really fantastic workshops in the works, the Aerial Photography Workshop in June, and the Mount Lassen Bernie Falls workshop in late September. And both of those, you can get more information on the workshops page at thedigitalstory.com. Also want to give a big thanks to our friends at Red River Paper. I tell you, I have been printing a lot lately and loving it. Not only do I use their fine art greeting cards for my personal project that I talked about today, but then I was using their 4x6 paper that I had on hand to print out the book plates. The cool thing about having printing paper on hand is that when you get an idea, you can execute it right then. You can do something about it. So I recommend getting your hands on some Red River paper. Use the tile on any page of the Digital Story. Have a few things in stock, and then that way when inspiration strikes, you've got something to test it and make something right away. They also have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. And finally, a huge thanks to our Patreon members. By the way, this personal project that I was talking about, guys and gals, members of our inner circle, that is the topic of this movie that I'm working on for you. And I shot live footage in Hawaii. I have images that I created using the techniques I talked about today. I have background information on the workflow, the whole deal. That's going to be one of the movies that you get at the beginning of May as part of my thank you for being a member of our inner circle. You can become a member of our inner circle by going to the Patreon tile that's on every page of the Digital Story. Do $5 a month. You can do more if you want, but do $5 a month to be a member of the Inner Circle, and you get all the content, the extra stuff that we're creating. Thank you to all of you who are members of the Inner Circle for helping us keep this boat afloat. I truly appreciate it. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. Thank you so much for joining me, working on more good stuff coming up. I'm going to be in San Francisco. Who knows what's going to happen there? I'm really excited about it. Until next Tuesday, have a great week. See you then. Bye-bye now.